Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We need to rejoice and be glad in it, because God woke you up this morning. God gave you a brand new day, and all we need to do is rejoice and be glad that we have another day and that God has given it to us, because he didn't have to wake you up this morning, but he did. Giving honor to God and thanking all of you for prayers and supplication for those that are ill and those that are sick. And I continue to ask you to continue praying for those that are sick and shut in and those that need more time with the Lord. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our lives. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you this morning happy, cheerful, joyful, for this is your day, Lord God. This is the day that you have given us a do-over. Lord God, I pray today is better than yesterday. And ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, that when we get older, we will not depart from it, Lord God, that we will walk in righteousness, that we will walk in the joy of you, which is our strength, which is our life, which is everything. Lord God, I ask you to continue watching over our children as they move forward, Lord God. We asking you, Lord God, to allow us to continue to study your word. Give us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for to keep this blog going and to keep you, Lord God, lifted up. And the first thing that we think of when we wake up in the morning is just saying, thank you, Lord. So, Father God, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be able to read your word and teach your word, Lord God. I ask you to give me strength, to give me a voice, to give me everything I need, that your word goes forth in excellence. So, Father God, I ask that you increase as I decrease. Lord God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be on your holy side. For you are my strength. Lord God, you are my strength. Father, you are my strength and my redeemer. And I ask you in the name of the matchless Holy Savior, my friend, Christ Jesus' name, to guide this show. Give me the words to speak. Remove all flesh and replace it with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Allowing God to give us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. Lord, help us, Jesus. We need God to guide us and lead us from all sorts of evil. For those that are in power will have folks do things against their right conscience, because people in power want you to do all the work as they sit back in glory, especially those that want you to do evil things. Keep God first in everything, family. But evil is among us. We got to start seeing it for what it is. Manipulation. There's a lot of people being manipulated by those spirit of Antichrist. Be careful. Be careful. Careful. Let's get into our word this morning. For we all know on Friday, whoo, we had some Exodus word. And we know that we got into the plague. And God did not play. When God says he will do something, he is going to do it. All you got to do is step back, watch, and wait, because God does not play. He does not play. And so today we'll be in Proverbs, Matthew, as well as Psalm. But we're going to kind of go back real quick as an overview over the Exodus life lessons. And I have a few life lessons from Exodus. And one of them was the hard heart. And I just wanted to go over that hard heart from Exodus chapter 5. And it says, Pharaoh is probably the best illustration in the Bible of a person with a hard heart. He thus provides a blueprint for what happens when a person refuses to accept and bend his or her will to the truth of God. Pharaoh received overwhelming evidence, plague after plague, sign after sign, miracle after miracle, and still refused to let the Israelites go, even when faced with undeniable evidence of his error. Pharaoh refused to acknowledge that another was greater than he. In the end, his pride and hard-heartedness cost him his army, almost his kingdom. All of us have stubbornly desired to have things the way we want them, even when our way opposes God's way. Every time we say no to God, we skirt the edges of rebelling once too often. If we repeatedly say no to God, then like Pharaoh, we may develop a hard heart that leads to destruction. We've got to be careful. And the word that God gave me today is, many are called, but few are chosen. Moses was called. Aaron was chosen. Moses and Aaron had assignments to do for God. And I have to say, they did their assignment to go to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. But he didn't listen. How many times can you have a plague? Let's see. We had, 9 of them on Friday. We had the blood. We had the frogs. We had the lice. We had the locusts. We had the darkness. We had the dead cows. We had, what was the other one? We had the hail and the storm. All of them that we had on Friday. But the bottom line is we had so many different. The boils. We had the boils, too. So, 9 plagues. Nothing God sent to you. The bloody water would have changed my heart right then and there because I like to drink water. And not to be able to drink water and stinky cows and dead cows and locusts and lice. You think about the lice, the bugs. Oh, no. Frogs. Oh, no. Flies. Oh, I forgot the flies. Flies. Oh, no. No. I don't like bugs, period. So you had lice, you had locusts, you had flies. Right there, I would have been done. But not Pharaoh. Hard at heart. Because first it was his hard heart, and then God gave him a hard heart to show his people what he could do. So we'll be getting into that again on Monday, I believe, with the last plague, which is the death of the firstborn. So we will have a lot of word on tomorrow. We'll have all of our word. But today let's get into our assignment, which is Psalms, Proverbs, and Matthew. And we're going to start in Psalms, then we'll go to Proverbs, and then we'll go to Matthew to round us up for today's word. And I am excited because they are all great words. So we are in, if you want to grab your Bible, we'll be starting in Psalm chapter 16, starting at verse number 7. And it says this, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand and I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. We got to have a I shall not be moved in our spirit today. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, in hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. And I want to read that again. You will show me the path of life in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's a highlightable. That's one of them scriptures you need to highlight. I'm sorry, I got to give it one more read. It just touches my heart. Will show me the path of life. Hallelujah. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord this morning. What a word. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Chapter 17 of Psalm, a prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceit. Hallelujah. I love that word. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. We have all been there. We have all had those moments in our life. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. Hallelujah. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have proposed that my mouth shall not transgress concerning the works of men. By the word of your lips, I have kept away from the path of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your path, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. You will have folks that will smile in your face and have a deceitful heart. But you continue to trust God. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. Don't let anybody take the joy of God from your heart. Because God always takes care of his children. Don't worry about what he said, she said, they said, or woo-woo said. Don't worry if you're being put down in the basement. Because God will bring you up to the mountaintop. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let folks see God's light in you. Because understand, the ones that do the dirt, folks will see that too. Don't worry about it. Shake it off, give it to God, and keep on moving forward. Been there, done that. Had my time in the basement. But you know what? God has blessed me more than I could ever imagine. And I am grateful. I am thankful because I am blessed. Even when those try to do you wrong, don't worry about it. Shake it off. Give it to God and keep moving forward. Thank you, Jesus. We got to keep that in our spirit. Moving forward. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. It's not just a title of a show. It's a lifestyle. Move forward. Don't let somebody make you look back to what was in the past. The past is the past. Let it go. Shake it off and keep it moving. Those that hurt you in the past, shake it off. Forgive them and keep it moving. Because when you don't forgive and you let that stuff fester in your heart, you wonder why people get sick. Because they're letting stuff fester in their heart, unforgiveness. We got to shake it off, give it to God, and keep it moving. I say it again so it gets in our spirit. Because many are called, but few are chosen. And if you are called and you are chosen, the enemy is going to throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink. And you got to stand firm. And you got to say, not today. Not today. As we keep in our word, it says this, keep me as the apple of your eye. We got to pray these prayers. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from the deadly enemies who surround me. David was going through some stuff. You think about being chased by somebody that you respect. You think about how he was feeling. He respected Saul. He loved Saul. He was the one that would soothe Saul's heart when he was going through. But yet, this man, who was, let's call it straight, his father-in-law, Saul was David's father-in-law, was chasing him to kill him. You think that through. Your family chasing to kill you, getting mad at his son because he didn't want to chase and kill you too. David was going through. And God protected him. And David prayed. And that's what we got to do. Pray without ceasing. That's the word. We got to meditate on it. We got to pray on it. And we got to believe God for it. For many are called, but few chosen. If you're chosen, walk in it. And don't let anybody make you feel bad. Don't let anybody knock you off your square because you choose God. Choose God today. Ooh, what did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what we got to have in our spirit. Pray over your homes that you will serve the Lord. Pray over your children that they will serve the Lord. Pray over yourself that you will serve the Lord. And as David continued in his prayer, he said, they have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down on the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront them down. Deliver my life from the wicked with their sword, with your sword, with your hand from men. O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions to their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. My life is not my own. And that's the song, I give myself to you. David was giving himself to God. He said he let God know who he belonged to. And we're going to go to our Proverbs word this morning. And we are coming out of Proverbs chapter 5, starting at verse 7. If you want to get your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 7. And it says this, therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. This is wisdom speaking. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how have hated instruction. How I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cisterns and running water from your own well. Come on now. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water on the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Come on now. You know what this is all about. Don't be out there. This is for those men out there. Adulterers. Men out there sowing seed in places that it shouldn't be sown. Doing what you shouldn't be doing. Spewing here and there and everywhere. And God is saying, nope. What is Samson giving you some wisdom today? Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. as a loving deer, graceful doe. Let her breath satisfy you at all times. Come on now. And always be enraptured with her love. But why should you, my son, be entrapped, enraptured by a immoral woman? Come on. And be embraced in the arms of a seductress. Don't be out there slipping and sliding, dipping and diving, where you don't belong to be, where you're not supposed to be. When you have a wife, you're supposed to cleave to your wife. Come on now, I'm just getting it real. We're going to keep the word of God real today. God's word is true, and he don't play. And God don't play with his word, and he tells you like it is, and like it is the way it is. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 to 23 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Don't be looking at folks thinking, oh, they got it going on because they have a lot of money. You don't know what wickedness is in their heart. You don't know what strife they are trying to create. You got to ask God for discernment. Ask God for a discerning spirit to see past the surface. If a man is married, he's married. Even though he said, I'm separated from my wife, he's married. Don't listen. I'm speaking to my single girls out there. If some man is coming at you that you know is married, nip it in the bud. Jump on that devil. It is not worth your soul. I don't care how nice he is. He's not yours. He belongs to somebody else, and leave him where he is, in the dust. And if he's a liar, then God will deal with him. And it won't be pretty. I can tell you that now. If it's a deceiver, it won't be pretty. God sees everything, and he will give you a discernment to nip it in the bud right off the top. Hallelujah. We thank God for his word. We thank God that he has given us a book of wisdom that we can read and study and meditate on. Thank God every day for his word. It will save your life, and it will save your soul. Hallelujah. Many are called. Few are chosen. And if you are in the group of chosen, walk in it. Walk in your calling. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. Don't let anybody tell you what you should do. God has already guided you where you should go. Listen to the voice of God, not to man. Man will steer you wrong every time, but God's word is always true. God's word will save your life. His word will save your life. And as we continue in our word, we are in our New Testament word, and we'll go back and do life lessons at the end of the show. Because it's God's word that must move forward. And as we get into Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 18. So make sure that your Bible, you turn to Matthew chapter 18, because it is a great word. And we're going to get into our word today, which is, for many are called, but few chosen. And we all know before you get to that, it is the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So don't worry about what he has people have on this earth, because not one of them can take their billions, almost trillions, and none of them can take their millions, almost billions, with them when they leave this earth. Not a one. Not a one. Not any of the 1%, 2%, 5%, 100%. Not one of us can take anything on this earth with us when we leave it. So all your stuff, just pack it up, because you can't take it with you. Hallelujah. The word that God has given us from Matthew chapter 18, and we'll be starting at verse 21, if you want to continue in your word with me. And it says this, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Let's find out, y'all. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 140. Come on, y'all. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Wow. Now, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pay it forward. So if I'm forgiving my debts, you got to forgive others their debts to you, correct? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? But this is what it says. It says, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is like very little. He owed, let's just say he owed millions, and the other person owed him hundreds. Okay? Let's keep moving, because this is important. It says, but the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from the heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. We got to forgive. I know folks can be evil. I know folks can owe you money. Family can owe you money that they never pay. But you got to forgive it and let it go. Give it to God and let it go. Because you never know. They may bless you out of nowhere. And it will be when you need it. Because that's just how God works. When you have forgiveness in your heart. If God forgives your debt, you got to forgive your debtors. You got to forgive too. Whatever God does for you, you got to pay it forward. That's just how it works. When God blesses you, you bless others. When God gives to you, you give to others. And it don't have to be, I got to go tell everybody what I did. No, what you do in secret, God will give it, will show it in light. God does it, not us. You don't have to tell everybody what you did, how you did it, and how you got such and such saved. That's between them, you, and God. God will reveal everything. When you invite someone to church, you don't have to say, oh, and I did that. I did it. They'll let God, everybody know that you invited them to church. They'll let everybody know that you spoke a word when they needed it. They'll let everybody know that you prayed for their loved one. They'll let everybody know what you did in secret. But also understand what you do in secret for good. Folks, let it be known. But understand what you do in secret and for bad. Folks, will let that be known too. Girl, I don't know why she up there in the choir singing Well, you know she was kicking it with us at the Dirty South last night. Girl dropping it like it's hot. And I don't know who she went on with, but that's all I can say. Understand, what's done in the dark comes in the light. Every time. When you do dirt, you better believe that dirt is still clinging on to you when you call yourself all cleaned up. You got to treat people the way you want to be treated. And love everybody. Because the Lord God loves you. Hallelujah. Not trying to preach today, just giving what I'm giving. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 19. I told y'all we had some word today. Matthew chapter 19, please join me, y'all. And it says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these things that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Here we go again. You know what? It's amazing to me how the Pharisees didn't like him, got mad at him. But every time you turn around, here they was trying to cause a mess, trying to be messy. They was just messy. And, you know, coming to try to, we're going to trip him up, get him. That's the religious set. Because you know how you have folks that are seeing, they are pastors even, I'm just calling it straight, that were seeing spies into churches just to see what they doing over there. What they doing over there? Let me go check. Let's see how they making things work. Let's go check them out. Send their little spies over. Oh, they had a great service. Oh, really? Okay. Well, then you maybe go back next month for me and see what they're doing over there. You know, come on now. We got to be careful that we don't become the spies, creating confusion. You know, but they just came to be messy, to pick at Jesus. But see, Jesus was the Son of God, God in the flesh. And he didn't play. He knew all they little tricks. He knew everything they had to say before they even came out of their mouth. God knows everything we're thinking, everything we're doing, everything God already knows, and he will put you to sleep. Come on now. And then it goes on to say, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Come on now, there's a word. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Hallelujah. Y'all caught that. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, is it better not to marry? Highlightable. This is what Jesus said. But he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. Bam. There are some folks that are going to be eunuchs. You know, I think we call them transgender now. And I'm not talking about folks that are out there in the world doing the hippity-dippity-dipping and dapping. I'm just saying this and that. We're talking to folks that got a spirit of God that don't want to be married, that don't want to be in any kind of relationship. And you let them, that's a word from God. Not me saying it, but God saying it. Jesus saying it. We got to watch what we say and how we treat and talk about folks. We don't know their heart. We don't know what God has born them to. We don't know what God has called them to. We got to be very, very careful what we say about people, especially when you don't know what their heart is. And I'm not talking folks wanting to change their stick so they can go do this and do that. No, I ain't talking about them people. That's a whole different ballgame. Because remember, the devil always gives a counterfeit to what God has. Always there's a counterfeit. We're not talking the counterfeit. We're talking what God says about folks. Some are born certain ways. Some are chosen. Some are forced to be certain ways. And some give themselves to the Lord in certain ways. We got to understand and put everything in perspective and in God's hands. And then it goes on to tell us, and then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Understand, children are special to the Father. Children are special to the Son. Children are special to the Holy Spirit. Jesus let you know, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. When my grandmother died, my uncle had a vision. We were standing in her room where she had passed. And I'm going to tell you, there was this feeling of peace in that room. Above her room, the clouds were pink. I had never seen a pink cloud in my life except for that one day when my grandmother passed. Right over her room at the hospital she was in was a pink cloud. And that was her favorite color, was pink. And a pink cloud was above the room. And my uncle, he and I got there at the same time. I was the oldest grandchild, and he was the youngest son. And we just had a connection with our grandmother, with his mother and my grandmother. I called my grandmother Mama till the day she died, because she was more like my mama at birth than my grandmother. And my uncle and I were together all the time when we were growing up, because he was the baby and I was the baby. And I was being taken care of when my mother first had me by my grandmother. And then I went to my godparents. But at that time, so she was called Mama until the day she died. But that day in that room, I felt the presence of peace. Because, you know, you got to forgive your loved ones before they pass this earth. You got to let stuff go and shake it off and give it to God. And everybody had forgiven and spoke what they needed to speak to just her. And then the whole family stood around her bed and we prayed. But we all left to go get food. But we got a call like almost immediately, and my family was the closest. So my uncle was the closest and my family was the closest. So we got there together, my uncle and I. And again, feeling of peace, that she was at rest, that she was no longer in pain, that, you know, the cancer that had been eating her up was no longer. Had a vision, because he's got a connection. And what he visioned was my mother, my grandmother, and my aunt, my great aunt, which was her sister. They were very close. And my great aunt had died that June. My grandmother died that November. And my uncle saw the two of them running in a field like little girls, little kids. He saw that. He said the bluest sky, the greenest grass, and they were just laughing and holding hands and running in this field. And when I read this word, it says, let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I wonder, do we become children in our rest? That we see our loved ones in our rest until it's time to rise again. That God gives us what we need in our rest. Hallelujah. But we both felt a calmness knowing that she was with her sister and she was okay. And this is the word of God in verse 16. And it says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. There it is again. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. For those that know what it is, don't lie. Honor your fathers and your mothers. And that is so important, to honor your parents. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself, calling us to do, not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to lie, honor our parents, love your neighbor. All falling under the last part of the Ten Commandments. Half is for God and the other half is your neighbor. God is telling us what to do. And it says, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, why do I still lie? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Then his disciples heard it. They were greatly astonished, saying, who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me with all sit on 12 thrones. It's in Revelation, is it not? Judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Come on now. Woo, what a word. And as we continue in Matthew. Kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he set them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right I will give you. So they went again. He went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his stewards, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is it your eye evil because I am good? Bam. So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen. Praise the name of the Lord today, family. For the word of God has gone forth. And we're going to go back and get into life lessons today. But we got to understand that you may not always get what you think you deserve. You may get what God has already promised you and what God has already promised us when we trust, when we give our life to Christ Jesus is eternal life. As you go through life, you build in your house. And so when you get to the kingdom, somebody's house may be bigger than yours because they did more work. Don't be jealous. Be grateful that you made it into the gate. Be grateful that you made it into the presence of the Lord. Whether your house is huge or your house is small, be grateful that you made it in. Hallelujah. That's our goal, is to make it in, to make it into the kingdom. And ask the Lord never to forget you. Jesus, remember me. Hallelujah. When you come into your kingdom. Life lessons from Psalm. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. God often, this is all Dr. Stanley, life lessons. And it says, God often gives us his counsel when we grow quiet enough to listen to him. While in bed or getting ready for sleep, we must be ready to listen at all times because he may be ready to speak at any time. We pray and pray and pray. We got to learn to be quiet so we can hear what God has to say. Psalm 16 and 10, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This verse is an important prophecy about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, quoted by Peter in Acts 2 and 27. Peter argued that since David had died and his body decayed, the verse had to apply to the Messiah Jesus. Hallelujah. You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That's a word for Christ. Even David, his ancestor, understood. And we must understand also that God never gives us more than we can handle. He will always be there to watch over his children. Psalms 17, verses 8. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. God delights in all those who place their trust in him. He considers each one the apple of his eye, the object of his special devotion. They find both protection and shelter in his loving presence. I will trust in the Lord. Remember that our saints used to sing, I will trust in the Lord till I die. Hallelujah. I'm going to treat everybody right. I'm going to treat everybody right. We got to have that in our spirit. 15 and 15, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in your likeness. We look forward to the great day when we will see Jesus as he is, when we will be transformed into his glorious image. 1 John 3 and 2, it will be like waking from a deep sleep into a stunningly beautiful new day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8, remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. God's word tells us to flee sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, not to test our spiritual maturity by seeing how close we can get to it without falling into it. If you know something tempts you, stay away from it. If you know that you are on the fast and you are not eating meat, why are you going to go to Burger King? If you know you are an alcoholic and you are not, you can't drink, why are you going to go to the liquor store? If you know you have an addiction to drugs, why are you going to go down to Boo Boo and them's house down the street when you know they smoking weed? Come on now. We got to tell the truth and shame that old wicked devil. Don't tempt God. And don't tempt yourself. Proverbs 5:21, the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his path. God is constantly watching over us, our decisions, noting our decisions, pondering our plans, observing our behavior, not primarily for judgment, but for blessing. He knows exactly what we need, and so he invites us to ask him for his counsel. When you get tempted, go to God. When you wonder why your things are not going right, go to God. When you wonder why this is going on in your life, go to God. Go to God in everything. Don't worry. Trust God. Don't walk in fear. Trust God. Worry about tomorrow. Just thank God for today. Hallelujah. Thank God for today. Life lessons from Matthew chapter 19:6. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Marriage is not merely a social convention, as many declare today. It is more than a piece of paper. Y'all catching that? In marriage, God joins a man and a woman into a single family unit. This is what makes divorce such a tragedy. And I'm going to read that again. What God has joined together. And that's right there. Put a little parenthesis and a little highlight on what God has joined together. Because so many times, God didn't join folks together. God didn't have anything to do with that relationship. God did not ordain that relationship. That was not, you was not, or she was not his good thing. Because a good thing you're not going to abuse. A good thing you're not going to treat like it's dirt. A good thing you're not going to cheat on and mistreat. Not equally yoked. You don't need to be with that person. If somebody is beating the tar out of you day in and day out, that is not of God. God didn't join that together. So we got to make sure we get the whole crux of that scripture, what God has joined together. Let not man separate. Understand what I tell you. And my pastor said, counterfeit. Enemy going to send a counterfeit. And that counterfeit sometimes blocks you from the one that God was ordaining and sending to you. But you married the counterfeit because he was so fine. He was so cute. He was just everything. Mama, I know you don't like him, but he is so cute. He's so nice. No, he's not. He's evil. Mama seeks stuff. When your mama say, don't go to that guy, you better listen. Mama's got wisdom. Most mamas got wisdom, let me put it that way. And grandmamas have Holy Ghost wisdom. And when grandma sees something, you better listen. If grandma tells you that man is not good for you, you better listen. If grandpa tells you, especially when your daddy and your uncles and all the men in your life tell you that that man is not good for you, you better listen like E.F. Hutton. Because I'm going to tell you, man, no man. And men know when somebody is not good for their child. You better listen. But again, what God is doing together. If God ain't doing it together, you better file them paperwork and get out of that abusive relationship and keep it moving. God is the one that ordains you as a good thing, women. And men, God will show you your good thing. If you stop, don't look at the outside package. Look at the inside. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 26. A rich young ruler went to Jesus and asked God, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What he was really asking Jesus was, I've done so many good things. Haven't I done enough to earn eternal life? Like so many people, the rich young ruler was asking the wrong question. Now remember that eternal life is more than just life without end. Eternal life is also a quality of life. It is the life of God. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive him by faith. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who went to the cross and died for your sins in order to reconcile you to God. Colossians 1:20. Then the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and he is the life of God in you. Romans 8:9-11. You see, the rich young ruler's emphasis was on what he could do to earn salvation. Unfortunately, this is the great deception. Eternal life cannot be earned. Galatians 2:16. Write these down. Ephesians 2:8-9 and 2 Timothy 1:9. We'll never perform in a manner so good that God will see what we've done, approve of us, and give us eternal life. Sadly, that's the way most people approach God. Of course, the real problem with that idea is that it ignores our sinful nature. We are naturally disobedient to God. Romans 7:14-24. We cannot do the things God created us to do or fulfill the purpose that God wants us to fulfill apart from the life of God in us. Therefore, we disobey God and break his law, we sin. And as James 2:10 tells us, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So I don't commit adultery, but I lie. I don't kill, but I steal. I don't hate God, but I can't stand my neighbor. We got to be careful. And let's keep going here. And it tells us, it says, so when people think if I do better in a few areas of my life, surely God will accept me. They don't realize that doing better does not take care of the real problem. What is the real problem? Even one sin earns us a penalty of death. Romans 6:23. Good works cannot erase sin. That's why good works can't save us, because they can't erase the sin debt we already owe. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross can do that. It is Jesus' crucifixion that makes it possible for us to be forgiven of our sin debt. There will never be anything else that can eliminate our death penalty. Of course, that rich young ruler believed that there was something that he could do to earn eternal life. And the great tragedy is that he walked away from the one person who can give it to him, Jesus. It's a tragic decision that so many people make in life. Friend, don't make that same mistake. And our last word for today, Matthew 19:23-30. Assuredly, I say that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then it tells us many who are first will be last. And the last verse, and this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. Why is it hard for the rich to enter heaven? For the same reason it's hard for the strong or the bright or the politically connected. They tend to rely on their own resources. Pride keeps them from trusting God's resources. We must trust God's resources. For I tell you this, whatever you need, God has got it already set up for you. You don't have to worry about what man says, because God is in charge. And as we finish this word this morning, God loves to exalt the humble and humble the proud. So Paul says, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:26-31. And just before we get out of here this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, and I know we're going over a couple of minutes, but I just want this word to go forth this morning. And a word from my sister this morning and yesterday is this. The devil can have your destiny if you don't give it to him. Have a strengthened Saturday. And today, good morning. Our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be. and makes us new creatures in Christ. Have a spiritual Sunday. And remember, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And as we go forth in our last word today, for many are called, but few are chosen. Have a blessed day. And know that you are called and you are chosen. That you might have been last, but you are first today with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And I say to you today, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are called and you are chosen because you're here today hearing the word of God and know your assignments. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap, and as always, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If the word of God is not opened, the word of God is not spoken, it's time to pick up your Bible and walk out the door, and don't look back, because God will show you that wolf in sheep's clothing. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Love you all. Please join me tomorrow as we journey through the book of Exodus. The books of Exodus, Psalm, Proverbs, and we will still be in Matthew. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap.